edge and the resilient souls of people who want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We have the same desire here, Lord, in Lake County. So no matter what's happening in our lives, we thank you that we are created by you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Lord, as we spend the next couple of weeks understanding the condition of our soul, what it means to have a soul, we thank you that your word is so abundantly clear. In Christ's name, amen. I believe in order to be a missionary, you have to have a resilient soul. And I appreciate Christy and Brett. The reason why God is able to use them now is because of their resilience. I am rereading a book that I read when I first became a Christian, Hinds Feet and Hinds Places. It's a metaphor of the Christian life, and it mentions that as it's talking about the soul, the only way to get to the higher place is through the guiding hands of two strange friends. One's name is Sorrow and one is Suffering. And if you would press Christy and Brett on it, the reason why they're flourishing now is because they haven't given up, right? So part of why I wanted to speak on the condition of the soul, because I believe that many of you face the wrestling match that you want to give up. Some have, quietly. Others, the resilience is kind of part of your life. And so we want to talk about that. We want to talk about what is the soul. Here's a couple verses that I think are important. Psalm 62 says, "My soul waits in silence for God only, for in Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, and I shall not be greatly shaken." My soul waits in silence for God only. This, about three weeks ago, I had the opportunity, when I got my doctorate, the seminary I got my doctorate from was gracious enough to allow us for the rest of our lives to audit one class for free. That's great because these are expensive classes and they bring in really top-notch people. The guy who did the class was a guy who's a friend now, Stephen Macchia, who wrote a book on books on the health of a church or the health of a leader. And that's really what the class was about. So it was, I still wanted to do the reading, so the eight books I had to read to prepare for the class and then go away. We had personal retreats and stuff. But really the focus, the first day of the class, was this question, how is it with your soul? That was a famous question that John Wesley would always ask people, what's the condition of your soul? And you may say, well, what is my soul? So here's the next picture. Generally speaking, we're made up of a body, soul, and spirit. And in the next month, or 4 weeks, we'll figure out how does that all work, all right? Can you really dissect this? There's a group called body, soul, spirit people. They're called the trichotomists. If you say, there's actually only two. There's just the body, and then there's the soul, spirit. That's called a dichotomist. And if you go, well, we're only going to look at the one, and we're holistically, that is the monists. And you go, well, who cares? I really don't. But here's the thing, is that I know that I'm living a living being, and this is how God has created me, with a body, a soul, and a spirit. And we'll define those and how those are significant as the weeks go on. Moses put it this way in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only give heed to yourselves and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Let me read that again. Only give heed to yourself and keep your souls diligently. Let me stop. When was this book written? What was the purpose of it? They had already been through their wilderness wandering. They had failed completely. They had refused, their souls refused to trust God and go into the promised land. They blew it. And God brings them around again. And now the children of those who have fallen hear these words. Only give heed to yourself and to keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the ways of your life. Make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. At the end of the service, we'll share this table of communion. Why? Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. If you're anything like myself, I get singularly focused on things. Sometimes I need to take a step back and see the big picture. What is the big picture? The big picture is I am created by God. I am redeemed by Jesus Christ. I am God's child. 40-some-odd years ago, I said, I do to my wife, Sue. I am Sue's husband. 28 and 27 years ago, I said hello to Kevin and Carly, who are my children. And 11 years ago, to this day, this church voted for me to be the pastor of this church. So anyway, so far so good, you know, at that point. I don't know, how do you define yourself? You better define yourself in the context of God and not the world. And not the puniness of your own mind or my mind. Hopefully you're not defining yourself based on failures or fears. We're defining ourselves by what God has said about us. So we have this exhortation by Moses before they're going to go into the promised land, and I believe it's an exhortation to each one of us. Let's hear it again. Only give heed to yourself. Pay attention to yourself. And keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life. So we want to look at this word soul. The Hebrew word for it is nephesh, used 757 times in the Old Testament, translated in various ways, meaning creature, breath, life, being, etc. In the New Testament, the Greek word is psyche, which is used 103 times, translated life, soul, spirit, heart, so on and so forth. It is the context of who we are beyond just your body. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God says, we have created him in our own image. God breathed life into us. Now, we'll talk in the weeks to come, well, when did that happen? When's that happened for us? One is our soul breathed into us when we come out of our mom's womb and when we, at the moment of conception. We'll talk about that. It's a pretty important question, isn't it? When does life begin? But here's what I can tell you. All life is sacred. It's sacred to the Lord because he created us. We belong to him. Our soul is the animating essence or principle of all life. Some of these things you're getting because I decided it was an important thing for me to sit in a class and read 8 books and all kinds of stuff as to what's the condition of my soul. Because if my soul, as your friend and your pastor, is not doing so well, if I'm going off on some weird tangents, if I'm preoccupied by foolish things, then I won't be much good to you. But if I'm a man of the Word, filled with the Spirit, praying for you, living a life of humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance and doing all that I can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, knitting together, equipping the saints for the work of ministry, that this place may see Jesus, then that's good. And so it's pretty important, whether you're a pastor or a teacher or a mom or a dad or a business owner, the condition of your soul has everything to do with those people around you. There are so many things I want to share, and with a brief amount of time, I'll just give you a little couple tidbits of all this. Our life is a journey. The Bible calls it a sojourn. All right. Now that sojourn, it says, the Apostle Paul says, happens in this earthly tent, this body right here. All right, or your body, right? That is filled with a soul, which is probably the best, clearest definition is your mind, your will, and your emotions. But throw in there your creativity, your desires, your dreams, your aspirations, all that stuff. What is the Spirit? That's the part that connects us with the Lord, that makes us alive. You must be born again, born of the Spirit. All right? The body itself is corruptible. It will die. It will fade away. How many of you wake up each morning or at least once a week have some kind of ache and pain that you deal with? Did you know in heaven there's no such thing as that? Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. As far as I understand, there's no hospitals in heaven. I tell you this, it was one of the hardest last couple weeks of my life. Sitting there trying to get my wife, other than getting the cancer out of her and missing part of a lung, and sitting there day after day saying, hey, well, that leaky lung ought to stop tomorrow. Whew. Well, finally did, you know. But you know what? This is an earthly tent. But inside is something that is eternal. And when we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, then we can be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And if we play around with that, if we somehow, well, if you know what so-and-so did to me, and your life is filled with vengeance or vile envy or lack of forgiveness or lust, whatever it is, you're not going to be like Jesus. And it will affect you forever. Important stuff. Only give heed to yourselves and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen. We don't want to forget. I don't want to forget what Jesus did for me, what he did for you. I am so prone to forget, though. So what I learned, and we'll talk more about this in the weeks to come, I realize that at times I have exchanged the proper care of my soul for a list of things that I am trying to accomplish. They're all good things, right? Caring for my family, you know, making sure ends meet, taking my daughter to hospital, you know, being the shepherd of a church. Those are things I do, but they're not who I am. The focus of the soul must be, Lord, how is Gary doing? And I realized in the midst of that class I took that I have to do a better job, a higher priority in seeking the Lord every day. I have to regain what I call, well, what's called sacred places. Sacred places of quietness. Now, some of you are moms here, or dads, or even some single moms here, and you go, man, I don't have 1 second of silence. I understand that. I kind of understand that. But in the midst of that, here's what I believe. The Lord is going to give you creativity that your soul may be fed by the shepherd. That's his desire for you. So if I have a four-part series, I promise I'm not going to try to do all four parts of it today. and run long, okay? So what I wanted to share with you, that's the basics, right? Body, soul, back the other one. Body, soul, spirit. I feel much more comfortable probably with the issue that we are in a body and our soul and spirit really are, as I read scripture, almost interchangeable. But for the believer, they're interchangeable because the spirit of God has been breathed into me, the Holy Spirit of God. And it's the connecting part that I've been made spiritually alive. So for me to describe life just by my soul and not my body doesn't make much sense. So here's a for instance. Some of my most soulful events in life. What's a recent one? So Sue's in the hospital. Carly's down there with me. We decided we're going to go out to dinner. Sue wants us to go to a nice place, and in the Napa Valley last week, it was restaurant week. So you could go to really nice restaurants, and it was really cheap. So we went to one, and we ordered this Wahoo beef, and then there was like a truffled risotto, and we split it, okay? All right? And then because she couldn't go in because she's not feeling good, we ate it out in the car. And I told them that, and the people they brought out for us, like linen and everything. It was a nice place, all right? And here you go, you know. And they even gave us a pen. It was really nice. It was like, had a lot of weight to it. It's very nice. And it was the perfect bite. You ever had that? Wahoo beef, a little bit of truffled risotto. Boom! I was there. My soul was going, yeah. Kind of liking that. Kind of like to have this every night. Friends, if my soul and body aren't working together, it's just not happening. You know what I'm saying? I can't just look at a picture of it. Oh, yeah, look at that. It doesn't work that way. I was in high school. I had become a Christian. I was the president of the band. We were a very good band, Ukiah High School, all kinds of stuff. Cool. So we're going to CMEA. There's this festival where you got to play all kinds of, you're tested for your ability to sight read. They throw a piece of, for the whole band, the whole orchestra, here's some, and then you have like 5 minutes to figure it out, and then you play it. But you're also supposed to prepare a piece of music. And we did, my senior year, a piece of music called Russian Christmas Music. And at the end of that, we were at Sebastopol High School, and we got to the end, and it goes boom, 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 boom. And then there's this huge, massive chord again. And then Mr. Nielsen cuts it off. And you could hear in that beautiful auditorium, that chord rang and rang and rang. It's just like a good guitar. Nice chord, just keeps ringing. And I started crying. Well, how can your soul do that by itself? It's in a body, right? Last Friday, they were supposed to bring the pathology report about Sue if she had cancer in her lymph nodes. The doctor was supposed to come by at noon, all right? But he got busy. He forgot, all right? Now, for those of you who have ever been sick, this is very common. Pathology report. Friday, we forgot, and you're like going through the whole weekend wondering what's going on, right? So one of the good things about myself is that I'm not bashful when it comes to caring for people. So I pulled about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's the nurse. I said, hey, doctor was supposed to be here. I'm sure you have his phone number. Could you please call his office and see if he is coming by, or you could figure out what the pathology report is. Pretty important to us. First of all, you have to have a pleasant relationship with these people. If you treat them poorly, if you treat them like some dog of some kind, then that's not going to go well, and it's not Christian. Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, right? If you're just mean, then they're going to be mean back to you. And even if they are mean to you, don't be mean back, because that's what Jesus says. All right. So we're going to learn in our soul care, when all else fails, stay close to Jesus and do what he tells you. when you think, gee, my life's messed up right now, well, it's probably messed up because you're not doing what Jesus told you to do. And if you're going through difficulties, well, join the party because we're all going through difficulties, but Jesus is there. Just do what he tells you to do. So, back to the story. The very nice nurse named Jordan. Jordan calls and says, hey, the doctor really apologizes. And then he pauses. Okay, here we go. The lymph nodes are clear. Now, how did I hear that? I heard that through my body. Went through right here. Boom, there's called my ears. Right? That's how, so that's the interconnection. So I feel much more as a believer with the word that has kind of been demonized at times. It's the word holistic. We have to see our lives as a whole. If you're not taking care of your body, and it's a temple of God, and then you wonder why you're struggling more, well, so take care of the whole thing. But the next 4 weeks, we're going to focus on the issue of the soul. One of the days that I was down there, we went to a retreat center where we had a personal retreat, and we were supposed to find a passage of scripture to meditate, and then I determined, well, I might as well go ahead and memorize it too. And so this is the verse I want to share with you, Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayers. From the ends of the earth I call to thee, because my heart is faint. O Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Pretty good one to meditate on. So I meditated on that the rest of the day. It keeps going and says this. For thou hast been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemies. Let me dwell in thy tent forever, and let me take refuge in the shelter of thy wing. For thou hast heard my vows, O God, and thou hast given me the inheritance of those who fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life with years. His years will be as many generations. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him. So I will sing praises to thy name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day. What preserves us? What preserved the king? God's loving kindness and God's truth. That's what preserves me. God's loving kindness and God's truth. I have friends, I was reading this and I was at the class and I knew that Sue on Friday was going to be having a PET scan, and I've known friends, I've had family members, they've had their PET scan, and the whole thing lit up like a Christmas tree. I was on the texting back and forth with Jim and Margaret Mosher, and I'm thinking, well, what if it lights up like Margaret's lit up? And so Jim was encouraging me through all of that. You're comforting others with the comfort wherewith you've been comforted by God. That sounds okay to me. How's your soul doing today? I want to encourage you, if you belong to Christ, if Christ is in your life, if you received him as your Lord and Savior, then you have been born again, and your spirit has been made alive with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. And his desire is to make you like himself. He's trying to prepare you for a life with him forever in heaven. He's also trying to prepare you for a life that is worthy of his sacrifice for you. So in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, I beg you as a prisoner of the Lord, I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, with humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance towards one another, and doing all that you can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So ultimately this is that when I look at the condition of my soul, I must look at it, what is the Lord's prescription to keep my soul right with Him? And that's what we'll be talking about in the weeks to come. But in this one here, I want to just focus my attention as I close on this. Excuse me. Verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God, give heed to my prayer. First of all, God is there. He wants us to communicate with Him, even in the deepest moments. Hear, Lord, hear my cry. Pay heed to my prayers. Pay attention, Lord, please. Please, please hear me. And then get this. From the ends of the earth, I call out to Thee, because my heart is faint. You ever felt like you're a million miles from God? Yeah. That's what David did. I do. Does that mean he's a million miles away? No. He's right here. Right. Why is he there? Because as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. I read the Bible pretty good. I mean, in John chapter 14, he abides with us. I abide with him. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And so we have this issue of the soul, is that my desire in doing a four-part sermon series on this, and then we're going to go into the book of Colossians after that, which we'll talk about Christ, our relationship with Christ, being the center or the umpire of our soul. All right, so that's what we're going to do for the foreseeable future, you know. My own sense is this. Someone asked, well, you ought to write a book. Well, if I had to write a book, and here's what I'm going to start working on, is somehow the issue of the importance of the resilience of the soul. God's development in us, a resilient soul. And I know that I've watched some of you, and God's developing resilience in your soul. You're not cursing God because you got arthritis. You may not like it. You know, a loved one passes away. Some terrible thing happens. Job's friends said, hey, just, you know. His wife said, curse God and die. No. Job had a resilient soul. I want to have a resilient soul. And so do you. I've shared the story many, many times. I'll share it again. Horatio Spafford, the year was 1873. He had gone through some tough stuff. He had lost his son to scarlet fever. Some say it was pneumonia. A couple years later, the great fire in Chicago happened. He was a real estate guy and burned all their stuff down. So he was trying to sort all this stuff out, so he gets his wife and his four daughters and puts them on a ship, and they're going to go to England, all right? It was a steamship called the Ville de Havre. Help me with this, Matt. If you, how do you pronounce H-A-V-R-E? Havre, all right? There we go. Thank you very much. So it hits another ship. It sinks. She's in the water. She gets saved. She gets to England, and she sends the cable saying, saved alone. Four daughters all drowned. All right, so you know the story. I've told it many times. He gets on a ship. He gets there, and either on the way there or on the way back, it's depending on whose story is telling it, but it was his daughter that they had after the fact that gave this story, that his father at the very spot where the ship went down would write the words, it is well with my soul. All right. Here's what we're going to do now. I want to ask you the question, don't answer it out loud. Is it well with your soul? And here's the great thing. For the next 4 weeks, this is not 4 weeks of beating each other up. This is 4 weeks of learning how, once again, to allow the shepherd of our soul, the anchor of our soul, the redeemer of our soul, the restorer of our soul, to help us. Invite him once again. We're going to sing this song. And as we're singing, I like the guys that are going to serve the communion. They come forward. As we're going to stand, we're going to sing It Is Well With My Soul. All right? Here we go. When peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know this, is that it is so easy for us to forget, but you want us to remember that you did not leave us alone. You came to save our souls. And Lord, we're here today as we participate in this table of remembrance. We do so, Lord, humbly, and we thank you for not leaving us to ourselves. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let us do this in remembrance of the shepherd of our soul. Go ahead. Something I want to share about your soul. Your soul is eternal. So the issue of Christ coming and redeeming us, dying on the cross for our sins, and then raising from the dead, his blood shed for our sins makes it possible for our soul to be made holy and clean, because we're taking on his righteousness. So let me encourage you, one of the ways of care for your soul is not only to have communion, but every time you have communion, allow the Spirit of God to walk through your life and ask the questions, how's my soul doing? And let him respond to you. Don't talk back, all right? If there's stuff in your life that just needs to go, to be confessed, then do it, you know? I mean, you can argue with me all you want, but don't argue with God. He knows what he's doing, all right? So every time you take and hold that and meditate, Lord, show me the condition of my soul. How can I get closer to you? How can I walk close in a closer way? All right? Is it well with your soul? Let me encourage each one of us. Let's seek the Lord. Seek him morning, noon, and night. If you're weary, then cry out to him from the ends of the earth. Why? Because he's your protector. He'll shelter you in the shadow of his wing. Let's pray and thank him in Jesus' name. Amen. On the way out tonight, this morning, there is a benevolent offering for those in our church and others who need extra help. And let me encourage you to give as an act of generosity and charity. Let's stand again and sing, "In my life, Lord, be glorified." In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Our Heavenly Father, take us from here. You are the shepherd of our soul. Lord, help us to seek you in prayer, seek you in the Word, seek you by having fellowship with one another. And we thank you for your generosity and your kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day.